We want to express a word of genuine thanks for all of you being present here. I do want to mention that those of you who are seated in the foyer, we do have some space up here at the front part of the sanctuary. We certainly would want to encourage you, if you would like, to come into the sanctuary. And I know we got a few gaps here in the pews, and some of you could just kind of move over a little bit. We could get some room for folks that are in the back, because we understand the speakers in the foyer there are not necessarily working that well at the present time. So we want to welcome all of you into the sanctuary. Please, if you'd like to join us. Would like to share a word from David and Judy that both of them have, and indeed everyone in the family, has genuinely appreciated the outpouring of sympathy and love that so many folks have expressed to them over these last couple of weeks since Don's passing, as well as certainly the length of time that he was hospitalized and experiencing illness. We are so grateful for your presence, because your presence is a living testimony of the great love that we all had for Don, right, and certainly have for Judy and everyone in her family. Thank you for being here in the Lord's house. Praise God. Thank you. Judy, we just wish you and everyone the very best. Bless you. And Angela will begin with our prelude, and that'll be followed by special music that Amber and Angela will be sharing with us. Thank you. Thank you, Amber and Angela. Thank you so much for your tribute to your grandfather, Amber. Thank you. We welcome you into the Lord's house this morning as we are privileged to offer praise to God, who through his grace in Christ Jesus has freed us from sin and granted us the hope of life eternal. And on this particular morning, we assemble in God's house to give thanks for the privilege we have all had to share our lives with Don Thomas. We honor Don's memory as a man of faith in Jesus Christ, a beloved husband, father, grandfather, tinkerer, and inventor, as we also rejoice in the truth that Don was blessed with the privilege to live his life fully among us and among his beloved family members and friends. And he enjoyed the fullness of God's natural surroundings on his beloved 10 acres, and most especially found great personal fulfillment and joy in redemption, as he, much better than most men, could look at what appeared to be a scrap heap and resurrect it into a fully functional automobile, truck, tractor, lawnmower, bicycle, and even a bulldozer. And even as we may miss Don's presence among us, may we all rejoice in the great assurance of his soul's salvation in Christ Jesus. For we find assurance in the promises of salvation in Christ for Don and indeed for us, as 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 state, "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he gave to us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. This fills us with a living hope, and so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for his people. He keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away. They are for you, who through faith are kept safe by God's power for the salvation which is ready to be revealed at the end time." May we pray. Holy God, as Don trusted in the promise of your living presence in the hereafter, we know that we too can do the same. And as we are inspired by his example of Christian faithfulness and by the promises you give us through Christ our Lord, this morning we pray for your Spirit's presence and comfort to be with his wife Judy, his brother Gail, and his wife Elaine, Don's daughters Danielle and her husband Rob and Camille, and Don's sons David, and also with his two beloved granddaughters, Billy and Amber. We pray also for Don's aunt Irma, his mother-in-law Dorothy, the five Pitzer girls, and Don's many cousins, nieces, and nephews, as well as the many of us, dear friends and members of this church, who have gathered in your house to honor Don today. For the comfort of your truths, we give you thanks, O God, as our Lord Jesus reminds us in John chapter 5, verse 24, "I am telling you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be judged, but has already passed from death to life." It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. As we remain seated, our congregational hymn is "Amazing Grace." We'll sing all stanzas, please, of hymn number 546 in the hymnal before you. 546.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Thank you.
It was on the 3rd of April in 1945 that Don Thomas was born into the family of Ernest Harold, or E.H. Thomas, and Willa Brenner Thomas of Lewistown in northeastern Missouri. It was a small farming community of somewhere between 400 and 500 residents, although Judy says the sign just outside of town has stated 415 for about a million years. Don was the second of the Thomas's children, as Gail had been born into their family on the 7th of July in 1941. The Thomas's house shared a back fence with the Pitzer family that was noted for being the residence of the Pitzer girls. And during his early childhood, Don played with the Pitzer's daughter named Alice, but Alice was not the one who would take center stage in Don's life years later. That's a story to be told in a minute. Even today, present and past residents of Lewistown recall the highlight of the weekend. It was the summertime Saturday nights. Everyone gathered in the city park to share in an ice cream social and to also watch an outdoor movie on a propped up screen. It was one of those old reel-to-reel movies played on a projector. If you were hard of hearing, you likely had to sit close. Instead of being the latest blockbuster, the movie was usually an old Western, black and white. But then folks really couldn't be picky. It was, after all, free to the public. As the years moved on, both families changed residences. The Thomas family moved to the Brenner place in the country. It was the home place of Willa's parents. After the misfortune of a tragic car accident, the Pitzer family moved into a rental house on the other side of town. But with the ongoing community events and with the consolidation of schools, the Thomas and Pitzer family certainly were still very familiar with one another. In fact, the 7th through the 12th grades were all small enough that even with the consolidation, all of these grades were situated in the same school building. And a younger daughter of the Pitzer family named Judy, who happened to be in the 7th grade, found herself infatuated from afar with the younger Thomas son named Don. During those school days, while seated in her own classroom, Judy would notice Don, who was in the 9th grade. It was while he passed in the hallway on his way to shop class. It was easy to spot him because no matter what shirt he was wearing, he was usually also wearing his green and blue plaid corduroy pants. We have to understand that it was a time when no one was allowed to wear blue jeans to school. Remember those days? Looking at Don as he passed by, Judy once said to herself, "I think I'll marry him someday." Even though short young Judy already knew that Don Thomas was noted for dating the tall, skinny girls. At the end of the following school year, the annual 8th grade end of year roller skating party held across the state line in Keokuk, Iowa, was about to take place. So Judy bravely ran around to Don's locker one day and asked Don to go to the skating party with her, to which Don replied in that soft-mannered voice of his, "I'll think about it." As it turned out, Don did indeed go with Judy on the skating trip, but it was only because he found out that his friend Roger was also invited to go with his girl Dottie. But that's what began the start of Judy and Don's life together in Lewistown, Missouri, and beyond. During his high school years, Don also worked in town at the auto repair shop of Junior McKenzie. And it was Junior who helped Don become familiar with all kinds of mechanic skills, because Junior would fix just about anything anybody brought to the shop. Cars, trucks, tractors, anything with an engine that needed fixing, between Junior and Don, it got fixed. It was in 1963 that Don Thomas graduated from Limo High School, which was the consolidation of Lewistown and Monticello high schools. It was 2 years before the United States had active military personnel involved in the Vietnam War, but Don chose to join the National Guard. During boot camp, the popular song being played on the country radio stations that became a favorite for Don was "I Wanna Go Home" by Bobby Bear, who, as the song tells us, was dreaming of going home while working on the factory lines in Detroit City. The most significant benefit of his National Guard service was that on his aptitude test, it was determined that Don would be a good mechanic. So they trained Don as a diesel mechanic, and he gained valuable skills that greatly enhanced what he had already learned back at Junior McKenzie's garage. Upon the completion of his tour of duty with the National Guard, Don then took a job at Gardner Denver as a lathe tool operator making compressors in Quincy, Illinois. Across the river, Quincy was only 28 miles from his hometown of Lewistown, so it was easy for Don to keep in touch with his family, as well as a young lady named Judy Pitzer. It was in May of 1965 that Judy graduated from Limo High School, but Judy's mother insisted that she had to be 18 years of age before she could get married. And even Don, being only 20 years of age at the time, with 21 being the age that a young man could be married on his own accord, Don's parents even had to sign off on the marriage certificate for him. But it was in July of 65 that Don and Judy were married. And with all their stuff loaded up in a U-Haul, the couple headed for Lawrence, Kansas, where Don worked for the Phillips Propane Company for a couple of years. Don and Judy then moved to downtown Kansas City as Don decided to attend barber school. Don was good at cutting hair, but after finishing the program, he just decided that he didn't want to spend all day standing around until the horde of customers all showed up at the last minute. And he'd have to also stand there for all those hours with his arms up in the air while there was nothing to talk about with the other men except sports. Don then wandered a bit with his employment as he spent a couple of years selling insurance. And then he worked for Gladstone Furnace and then for a private heating and air conditioning company, while all along Judy also found work in office jobs. All through those early married years, regardless of where he and Judy lived, Don always found himself compelled to collect various tools and set up a small shop where he could spend his beloved spare time engaged in any number of small projects. For in his heart of hearts, Don Thomas was a tinkerer and a self-taught inventor of his own right. He was a man with an old soul, better suited to the mechanical and electrical realm of the 20th century rather than the electronic and digital realm we now live in this early part of the 21st century. First, Don set up his shop in a bedroom. Judy, bless you. In an apartment. And then, of course, in a 10x50 mobile home. And then when the family owned the first half of a duplex in Riverside, Don proceeded to dig under the building and set up a basement shop. Eventually, he and Judy owned the entire duplex, and Don proceeded to fix up both sides to be just what they wanted, and then they rented out the rest. It was then in 1971 that Don and Judy found out that they were going to have twins, and looking for better pay and health insurance. And I kind of wonder, Judy, if maybe you had a little something to do with that encouragement, right? Don began working at the Clay Como Ford plant. I remember Don telling me that for a time he assembled the Ford Maverick. Back then it was a car instead of a small pickup, as it's branded today. Don knew right away that he was bored working on the line, but Judy convinced Don to stick with it, as she encouraged Don to use his time on the line to dream about his projects and plan out what he wanted to do in his shop next. Especially as the 6 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. shift gave Don plenty of afternoon and evening time to work on his projects and to be with his family. It was on the 5th of September in 71 that Camille and Daniil were born, followed by David on the 24th of April in 74. And as the children were growing up, the Thomas family moved from the modified duplex to what the family called the Orange House on Virginia Street, simply because it was painted orange. But for several years, on his way to and from work, Don found himself passing by a 10-acre piece of property on Berry Road owned by Mr. Brown, until one day Don saw a for sale sign on the property. Don always felt so fortunate that his offer was received, even as I know he worried about how he was going to pay it off, as the Thomas family made the 10 acres their new home on the 4th of December in 77. With Camille and Daniil and David all still being quite young, the wooded acreage was quite a unique place to live outside the city limits. With an eclectic array of animals brought onto the property for the kids to raise, it was dubbed on many occasions as the Funny Farm. There was a pest of a rooster named Roy, Mr. White the Duck, and a vast array of cows, horses, rabbits, ducks, dogs, and cats. And when show and tell came around in school, some kids would bring their favorite toys or sports equipment or maybe a dog or a cat, but the Thomas kids could always be counted on bringing a farm animal. Harkening back to his early years on the farm, Don always found it enjoyable to attend auctions, farm sales, and livestock shows. On one occasion in which David was still in early grade school, Don chose to take young David with him to a livestock show. As was always his custom, Don did in fact pick up a bidding slip, which he stuck in his front shirt pocket, but Don had no intention of buying any animals that day. He simply wanted to watch the show and give his young son an opportunity to experience the event. Don and David made their way to the top of the bleachers slowly and meticulously as David used his small pair of crutches to make the journey. They both settled in and watched for hours until finally at the end of the show there was a final lot of cattle that included at the end one puny calf. As the calf was being presented in the ring, however, David decided it was time to snatch the bidding ticket from his father's pocket and wave it around as David asked, "Hey, Dad, what's this for?" Don desperately tried to grab the ticket from his son's unwieldy hands with no success. And as it turned out, the auctioneer was more than happy to accept the increasing bids from the father and son seated far up in the stands. Don honored the process as he made his way down to pay for the puny calf. And not only did he not need that calf, but he had no intention of buying one in the first place. But once they were home, though, Don unloaded the calf and said to David, "Okay, son, you bought it, and so now you're going to take care of it," which included bottle feeding at the time and then all the customary task of caring for a calf for quite some time. David, of course, followed through, and the family named the puny calf Midget. It was a valuable lesson for David to learn about auction protocol, but it was also quite a while before Don invited young David to go with him to another sale or auction. As the family settled on their small farm, Don and Judy and their children created their own slice of heaven as they were surrounded by the trees and the creek and raised so many animals. Don and his brother Gail repaired a couple of old bulldozers, which they then used to build the pond, and in time, every day was like a vacation as Don fashioned a playground, a sand pile, and pens for all the various animals that they raised. At one point, Don even built a fourplex condo for the family's rabbits. During his afternoons and evenings off from work, Don also built his shops from which he fashioned a vast array of transportation modalities for David and the girls. When David was young, Don constructed a hand-powered big wheel that David later said he must have ridden over 100 miles as he circled the driveway over and over and over again. And when David had to endure a body cast while undergoing various surgeries early in life, Don fashioned a wheeled board for David to maneuver through the hallways at school. Don also constructed for David various bikes and tractors and even a scooter that David could operate on his own. Don's objective was always to create opportunities for David, Daniil, and Camille so that they could go anywhere and do anything that their peers were doing and to make life as normal as possible. Even when David was 5 years of age, Don fashioned a hand-operated tractor out of a push mower so David could do his part to help mow the property. Even today, the hand grips positioned on an old swing set frame provides the means for David to hoist himself up from his wheelchair into his favorite riding mower. The kids found Don to be rather strict as he required each of them to keep up their jobs and responsibilities on the farm, but at the same time, Don also created a lot of fun opportunities and experiences for his children and their friends. Don taught Daniil and Camille to use every tool in his shop, even though he also helped them to restore a VW convertible, which became their birthday present on their 16th birthday in 87. As Judy has said, it required a lot of sanding in the heat, but they also had many great adventures in that car. As the years went by, the children grew up and established their own lives, but the farm has always been a go-to place for family gatherings. After 30 years and one day, it was in 2002 that Don was able to fully retire from the Clay Como Ford plant. And Don was privileged to launch out on the most wondrous of endeavors he could have ever hoped for. At the age of 57 and still appreciating good health, Don was free to enjoy the expanse of his property, his shops, and his acquired skills and spend his days building whatever he dreamed up with his brother Gail often working at his side. That was until it was time to stop in the afternoon to get a Frosty. It was a year after his retirement in 03 that Don purchased his Red Diamond Tea, which certainly became his pride and joy. Don and Judy drove it to 7 different national truck shows, one as far as Alabama. His favorite trip was on the Natchez Trail for their 50th wedding anniversary, which the fact that you all got married so young, it came quick, didn't it? And Judy is known to say, he loved that truck. But we also know he loved you too, Judy. Don always possessed an inquisitive and inventive mind, and he truly enjoyed the art of resurrecting something from a state of disrepair into something that was fully operational. The scrap heap that became the fully functional Model T Roadster was one example, as was any number of the apparently rusty 20s-era vehicles that have adorned the property for many years, but up until just the most recent years were all still fully functional and easily moved about on the grass so that the grass could be mowed where they stood. Don also built his own metal folding machine and a riding mower with a giant weed eater in the front to keep down the brush. And before and during the pandemic, Don acquired a 20s-era Maxwell, possibly the only one registered in the state of Missouri, from what he was telling me one day, that needed, among other things, a reconstruction of the wooden frame top. Not long ago, Don also constructed his own bike rack so he could drive his newly acquired electric bicycle, but notice, he didn't buy a new one. He got it on Craigslist. But he could take that bicycle to the nearby Gladstone Park. I think, Judy, you did the walking and he did the riding, right? Even in these most recent months, all of us at the church are profoundly grateful for the fact that Don Thomas fully researched and made various telephone calls to determine how the yoke of the church's bell could be reconstructed so the bell could once again be reset in a new tower that will be Cale Grigsby's Eagle Scout project, and once again allow the bell to be fully on display in front of the church's property. And even though through the years, we've also become so very grateful for the many hours Don devoted to the repair and upkeep of mowers and several other pieces of equipment that are used by the men to maintain the church's expansive acreage. As the grandchildren, Billy and Amber, were growing up, mornings and afternoons with Grandpa were certainly special for Don, and he and Judy have always been so attentive to the various musical and dance performances and ball games in which either of the girls was involved. And even though Don was really content to stay focused on his projects in the shops, on so many occasions he willingly stopped whatever he was engaged in to pause and listen to his children and grandchildren as they talked about what was ever on their minds. So Don so willingly would leave his property also to go and make repairs for anyone, vehicles, appliances, housing concerns, you name it. It was while the family was still in the Orange House that they first visited Berry Christian Church at the time that Brother Mac was pastor. And with their move to the farm, they continued the commitment here at Berry Christian Church, where Judy and Don have served as deacons and elders and in so many other positions. It was while Judy was working at the early learning school that the needs of some of the children and their families became apparent. And with Judy's encouragement, our congregation became very much involved in donations for the weekend food bag program. But so many of us know that it has always been the team of Judy and Don who have been so very faithful to the purchasing of the needed food items, the filling of the weekend bags, and the delivery of them to the early learning school. Week after week, for the 40 plus weeks of each school year for the last 20 years. For their first fierce devotion to this ministry and to so many outreach causes, all of us at Berry and many throughout the Northland owe Don and Judy a heaping measure of gratitude. And of course, for many years, our congregation has been blessed, as the Thomases have for so many occasions hosted the October Fall Festival for the Berry Christian Church on the farm. It's been a unique Sunday afternoon event where everyone has so very much enjoyed a hint of a period of the past as the restored John Deere tractor was so very faithfully putting along, pulling the delighted children, parents, and the elderly alike, as Don escorted them through the woods and down toward the pond on an easygoing hayride. All of us have also been so very blessed to roast hot dogs on the open fire and enjoy the fellowship and potluck supper as the sun set and the fall evening air would cool and prompt us to gather closer to the fire, until finally, but reluctantly, we realized it was time to leave the wooded sanctuary and return to our own homes. To sum it all up, it could easily be said that Don Thomas was one of the most compassionate and exceptional men of faith that any of us could have ever been privileged to call a friend. There have been many times that Don could be strict and stern when it came to insisting that things are done right. But Don's gentle voice and demeanor were also so very comforting to us all. Don was not only a servant for the cause of Christ's ways, but he was also so very accommodating in his efforts to make life easier and exceptional for his children, his grandchildren, his family, his friends, and certainly for so many sojourners in need. Many of us are aware of the challenge that Don faced as he worked through the limitations imposed by the illness simply noted by the letters MG. But it was his last few years that we also noted his determination to get back to work, doing the things he enjoyed doing with his mind, hands, and the skills which God had given him. Yet we are all saddened by the simple fact that MG combined with the virus recently created a cascade of physical difficulties that made it so very difficult for Don to maintain his physical presence among us. Yet it is in Christ that we all take heart. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that when this tent we live in, our body here on earth is torn down, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home he himself has made, which will last forever. And surrounded by his loving family, It was on the 6th of July of this year, 2023, that Don Thomas passed into the Lord's presence with Judy holding his hand. You may notice here on the communion table, there's a Folgers coffee can. You may wonder, but we don't really. Don was insistent that his ashes just be placed in an old coffee can. I think in his mind, he's probably thinking about one of those old metal ones, not something out of plastic. But we can't get the metal ones anymore, can we? So we'll settle for the plastic. But it is just a commentary on that unpretentious nature that was the essence of Don Thomas. Not to spend money on himself, but to be so profoundly generous for the blessing and benefit of others. Don was preceded in death by his parents, Ernest Harold Thomas and Willa Brenner Thomas of Lewistown, Missouri, and his son-in-law, Jeff Bouquet. And Don is survived by his wife, Judy Ann Pitcher Thomas, and his brother, Gail Thomas, and his wife, Elaine. And Don is also survived by his daughters, Danielle Gail Thomas Collins and her husband Rob, and Camille Don Thomas Bouquet, and his son David Aaron Thomas, and his two beloved granddaughters Billy Ann Collins and Amber Lily Bouquet. Don is also survived by his aunt Irma Jean Walker, his mother-in-law Dorothy Hinkle, the five Pitzer girls, and several cousins, nieces, and nephews. Memorials can be given in Don's memory to the Berry Christian Church Property Committee. And for your presence here today, we are indeed grateful. As we remain seated, we turn in our hymnal to number 33, How Great Thou Art. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please. Camille and Billy to please come forward and share about Don. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Growing up on most weekends, either early Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings after church, we as a family would head out to Swap and Shop at a drive-in movie theater. My heart pounding, and beautiful. I could see my dad standing here. There's a lot of love here. So I feel a presence. We go Swap and Shop, and there's often a line to get in. Once in, Dad would park at the very back, and we would have to walk all the way on the other end, because he was determined that the best things were back there. And if you've never been to a Swap and Shop, it's really a sight. There's like rows and rows and rows of cars. It's where people sell their things, whether it's old or new. Animals, there's like puppies, birds, chickens, and there'll be food. But it seemed like Dad was always looking at tools and parts while us kids would roam up and down the rows. And we had an agreement that we had to check in with him every now and then to say hi, and then we could take off. And then at noon time, we somehow knew this was before cell phones. Dad only had his watch, but at noontime, if everybody was coming to the concession stand, we would have to meet there to either get a drink from the water fountain or splash our face with cold water, or we get a snack. We have to decide, do we want to stay there or do we want to go home? So on this particular day, as a 10-year-old, it was just Dad and I. We got there, walked all the way to the front, and he handed me $5 and said, you can buy anything you want. It was like, anything? He's like, anything. I'm like, okay. So I remember roaming by myself, these rows and rows of cars, thinking I ought to buy myself a cold drink, because if we ever bought anything, we bought one and we had to share it with everybody. So I was like, I'm going to buy my own drink. And I was like, I'm not sure if I want to do that. And I thought maybe I can buy books. There were so many books there, and I would spend lots of time looking at the books. And I was like, no, I don't want a book. Then I thought maybe a shirt. People would sell their clothes, their children's clothes, and a lot of them would have animals on them. And I was like, well, surely I could find a shirt. But I didn't want that. So I remember thinking this particular row that I was in was extremely boring. So I passed through the cars. You can walk like down the row, then turn, walk down the row, but sometimes there was space in between the cars where you could go through. So I remember you had to watch where you're stepping, because sometimes there were tables, and then sometimes there were blankets, and people put their stuff on, so you had to walk where you were going. So I remember walking through, and I looked up, and oh my goodness, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I saw Santa Claus. Alive Santa Claus. He had a white beard, a white head, the belly, the rosy cheeks, and he was leaning against one of those trucks that they look like a bubble. You know, have a bubble hood, a bubble where the tires are, the bubble, you know, the bubble, it was rusty, and he was in overalls, and he was leaning against the truck. So my heart pounding, because I realized what's around him. Baby bunnies. He was selling baby bunnies. There were baby bunnies on the floor of his truck, and he was sitting by them. So my heart pounding, and walking up to him, and I'm like, "How much are your baby bunnies?" He was $5. And ho ho ho. I was stunned to be talking to Santa Claus that's selling baby bunnies. So I said, well, I need to go find my dad first, because I showed him my $5, and he asked me, which one do you like? I said, this one, and it was a gray bunny. He said, I'll keep it for 5 minutes. So I had 5 minutes to find my dad. And I said, okay. I took off running, my hair flying in the wind, and I find him, I'm out of breath, and I said, I found what I wanted. And he's looking at my hands, and he says, well, what is it? Where is it? And I said, well, I have to show you, and we have to be fast. So, he smiled and said, okay, off we went. So I made a way back there, and I remember standing there pointing at them, and he's taking it all in, and he's smiling really big. He said, a bunny? Are you sure you want to spend $5 for a baby bunny? He's like, yes. He smiled. He said, okay, we have one small problem. We need a box. We need a box, not just a box, but a box with a lid so we can keep it home safe and won't jump out. I was like, okay. So we paid for the bunny. We told Santa Claus that we'll be back. And we're walking away. He goes, we have another small problem. These people love the boxes. I remember we laughed so hard. And so we came up with a plan to look for a box that could be easily picked up and walked away. It took a couple tries, but we found it. That was the day I brought home. Thumper. I named her Thumper. And that story is one of many examples and stories of Dad keeping his word.
Hi, I'm Billy. Don was my grandpa, and ever since I was born, I've thanked God every day that he brought me to him. The universe knew that I needed a family and a best friend, and found the perfect match. Growing up, I was so blessed because I got to start every day before school with a big warm hug from my grandpa. Seeing my grandparents' smiling faces and sharing laughs and stories with them from daycare to high school genuinely shaped me into the best version of myself that I could be. My grandpa was the strongest, most loving, and inspiring person ever. He taught me how to show the most love to those close to you, to never give up on the hobbies that make you happy, and that family is one of the most important things that you can have. Thinking about living life without him feels impossible, but I truly have been blessed to have had such an amazing grandpa. We've made so many memories, and every moment that we spent together will be the greatest times that I'll ever remember. The other day, I had a dream about when my grandparents took me to nationals for a dance competition. And I didn't think too much of it at the time, but they seriously were there supporting me at any and everything that I did. It didn't matter if they had to travel or sit in an auditorium for hours on end, just to watch me on stage for a few minutes. I always knew my grandpa would be there. He was at every birthday, every school event, and even if I just needed a hug or a smile put on my face, I knew that I could go down the street to see my best friend. I wish that I could sing Johnny Cash songs or go on a bike ride and learn something new about whatever tractor or vintage car he got that week. I just wish I could do that, or mainly listen to his voice one more time. And I really hope that he watches over me every day and that I can make him proud. And I'm always gonna cherish the love, support, and friendship that he gave me.
And how do you follow that? Being blessed. Aren't we blessed? And Judy shared with me that Don loved this song because this is what he remembers from his mother's funeral when he was 16 years old. So I am blessed to be here and to get to sing it. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me. Talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing.
Thank you, Carol. Scripture reading I share with you, this is from John's Gospel, the 6th chapter. I have come down from heaven to do not my will, but the will of him who sent me, says Jesus. And it is the will of him who sent me that I should not lose any of all those that he has given to me, but that I should raise them up to life on the last day. For what my Father wants is that all who see the Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them to life on the last day. Our Lord Jesus came into this world to not only fulfill God's plan of salvation for humanity, but to also give us the most unique and intimate experience of a loving and holy God. While Jesus dwelt among us, his godly compassion and love for others was truly extraordinary. And what we find most remarkable is the way that Jesus deliberately chose to break away from the expected norms of the Jewish society of his day and to be very accommodating to the needs and concerns of those whom he encountered. When the mourners in the funeral procession were coming out the gates of the city of Nain on their way to the tombs, the custom of the day would have been to simply respectfully pause as the party passed by. Yet Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 14 tells us that Jesus saw the widow with her deceased son, and his heart was filled with pity for her, and he said to her, "Don't cry." And then he chose to step up to the procession, reach out and touch the coffin. This break in protocol was so out of character for Jewish people that the men carrying the coffin, holding the deceased young man, stopped. Jesus commanded the young man to get up. And verse 15 then tells us that the young man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. And in a most accommodating way, Jesus risked ridicule and suspicion to bring this young man back from the dead and to save his mother from a life of poverty. Further on in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, when blind Bartimaeus understood that it was Jesus who was passing by on the street where he was begging, Bartimaeus shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people in front of Bartimaeus scolded him and told him to be quiet, even as he shouted more loudly. Jesus could have simply ignored the commotion, as many would have. He could have thought he had more important matters to attend to, as many of Jesus' followers thought as they were hushing Bartimaeus. But our Lord Jesus chose once again to be accommodating. Verse 40 tells us that Jesus stopped the entire entourage and ordered that Bartimaeus be brought before him. And Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus asked to see again. Jesus once again was so very accommodating as he restored his sight, giving him new life and freedom from poverty. We could tell many other such stories, but what we realize is that our Lord Jesus so very willingly broke from the norms and so very willingly accommodated the needs and concerns of those with whom he encountered. As we've been reflecting upon all that Don Thomas has meant to all of us gathered here in the Lord's house, all of us that have known Don and Judy, we've known them to be faithful servants in our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. Yet I've been led to believe that just like our Lord Jesus, Don Thomas, and Don and Judy, as an uncompromising team, have been so very accommodating to the needs and concerns of so many with whom they have shared their lives. We've already reflected upon so many of these measures of accommodation, Don's design and implementation of so many devices that made it easy for David and the girls to manage life skills and tasks, Don and Judy's faithful achievement of behind-the-scenes tasks that have made the after-school food program successful for decades, as well as so many other outreach ministries for which our congregation has provided year after year. Even in more recent months, at Don and Judy's house, as the outreach committee would gather around their table to share a meal before distributing the monthly 10% tithe to outreach causes, I was so very much humbled by Don's insistence that I sat at his chair positioned at the head of his family's table, simply because Don knew that his chair would be more supportive of my ailing back, as he then would sit in the open back chair to the side of the table. A verse that so clearly defines the way Don and his wife Judy have lived their lives is so easily summed up in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. "Help carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will obey the law of Christ." Accommodating. This is the way of our Lord Jesus, and the way of Don and Judy Thomas. Today and in the days to come, we will continue to mourn and certainly miss Don's presence among us. As people of faith, however, we also acknowledge and rejoice in Don's great victory over death and sin made possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, as a way of preserving the legacy of servanthood that Don and Judy have portrayed so faithfully over the past several decades, it is my sincere hope that many of us will not allow the voids of Don's service to simply remain as gaps in service rendered, but that those of us who are able-bodied enough to respond will simply pick up where Don has left off and continue his legacy of accommodation for the benefit of others. For in doing this, we will honor Christ, and we will honor Don, and we will express thanksgiving for all that Don and Judy have done in service for others and to the glory of God the Father. We sing our final congregational hymn, He Lives. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, number 226 in your hymnal. For the living spirit of Don Thomas, and even for ourselves, we find great hope in the assurances that Scripture offer us. For Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, "Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you unto myself, so that you may be where I am." So as we can envision our Lord Jesus having already come and taken Don's spiritual presence into the heavenly realm that was already prepared for Don, we can find comfort in the assurance that such preparations are also underway for us as we make our confession of faith and truly believe that Jesus is the living Christ and Savior. With the assurance of salvation for Don, for ourselves and for others, in God's great care, we can surely depart from the Lord's house with a lighter step and with eagerness to be about the Lord's work with the same accommodation for the benefit of others that we truly experienced in Don. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, as we give thanks for the great hope that we have in Christ, knowing that death is not an end but merely a portal, as our souls are blessed with the privilege to reside in your eternal care, We find comfort knowing that our beloved Don Thomas is no longer burdened by failing health, but that his spirit is reunited not only with Christ, but with beloved family members that have passed on before our time, as they have joined the assembly of the saints in your eternal kingdom. As we each depart from your house, we give thanks for the everlasting hope that we have in Christ, as we are empowered by your Spirit's guidance to be living witnesses for your glory in the days you have allotted to us. And as we depart from your house, may we be inspired by Don's example, as Paul declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So then, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and steady. Keep busy always in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever useless. This we pray, as we may also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're so very grateful for your willingness to be here in the Lord's house and to especially stay here the duration of time. But we know we have all come to honor and celebrate Don's life, as we also continue to lift up in prayer Judy and her family. I would ask that you give us a moment for Judy and her family to come to the foyer before you depart from the sanctuary. And we want to lift up also that for family members and those who've been traveling from the northeast side of the state, lunch is prepared and ready in the fellowship hall directly below the sanctuary. God bless you all, and thank you for your presence.
sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious gift that grace appeared.